The scriptures this evening are from John 14, verses 1 to 6. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe in also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
We've been asked. I was preaching at Bow Valley Sunday, and just as a little bit of an icebreaker, I said to the people, if you know Pastor Jason, who's a senior pastor there, I don't know how much he weighs, but I said to the church, there's not a great deal difference in our weight, but there's an extreme difference in the allocation of that weight. He is a bodybuilder, and I've spent my life building a body. And so we are good friends, and I am just praying for Bow Valley. He is scheduled to be back in the pulpit on the 15th after four Sundays away. I want to speak to you tonight on the title of Some Basic Joy Fillers. I'm so thankful tonight for the promise that we have from the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 18:20. When he says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. That's why you'll notice that I don't ever pray and ask the Lord to come and be with us, to come and be in our presence. He's already made a statement that if we gather together in his name, he's here. And that's because the Holy Spirit indwells his people. He doesn't come delivered by UPS or anyone else. The Holy Spirit is here indwelling each individual, so we have gathered in his name. So let's look at some of these basic joy fillers. If you will, follow me. Number one is the fact that every breath I take is a gift from God, and it brings joy one breath at a time. In Genesis 2, chapter 2, verse 7, then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. Many of you have heard me say before, I certainly am a biblicist when it comes to the creation of the human race. I do not believe that any of my relatives live down in the Calgary Zoo or anywhere else. I don't think those that go by and throw peanut hulls and orange peelings and things in there and watch them eat them, those may be some of your ancestors, but they're not mine. I believe that I was created by God. I believe that God breathed the breath of life into me, and it brings me great joy to know I'm not dependent upon myself or anyone else for every breath that God gives me. When you check my track record, you would understand exactly why that is a joy filler to me. How much we value God's gift of life will determine what we do with it and how much joy we live with. Have you ever met those folks, and you've heard me years ago use an illustration, that we're all either a fountain or a drain? There are those who come in the room, and when they walk through the door, you just sort of feel in your whole body sort of, you're just sucking the life right out of you. I love to be in the room where those folks that come in, you think, boy, there's a fountain. They pour joy, they pour enthusiasm, they pour encouragement into you. And so I believe that that gift of life is a gift from God. And when we understand it fully, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, the second part of it, life really begins. It says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And if you want to have some more joy, don't just start praying for joy. Pray, God, would you bring me into a closer relationship with you? Because as that happens, my joy accelerates. It begins to go up and up. In Psalm chapter 51, verse 12a, it says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. there really should be a sense of joy because of God's gift of salvation to us and to me. It is possible for a Christian who's been a Christian for a long time. I really gave my life personally to the Lord Jesus Christ when I was a young boy. And I knew from that point on that the Lord guided me day by day. And I find joy in that. But I want to tell you, there are some joy distractors in the world today. It'll just suck all the joy out of your life. And you find out that Brenda and I were talking about it, a good friend of mine from Tennessee who used to say, when you get to where you're serving God just out of D-U-T-Y, you're in trouble. Because you need to be serving Him out of the joy. And you need to recognize daily the joy that God has given to us in salvation. And then we need the Lord to protect and continually refresh that joy. I don't believe for a moment, this is a theological argument around the world, and that is that once you have a genuine experience where Jesus Christ comes into your life and takes lordship, begins to lead you and guide you, there are those who would believe that you can lose your salvation, and therefore you're back to square one. I do not believe that that's biblical, because I think the one that saves me is capable of keeping me. And so therefore, I may be displeasing to Him. Some of you may be in here who have had children that occasionally they kind of let you down a little bit. They kind of displeased you. But you know what? Go look in the mirror. They're still yours. Now, they get all of those factors from Brenda, and I have to try to offset some of that. But no, not really. It's the other way. They are my child, and I love them. I may not be pleased with what they're doing. If you ever committed your life to Jesus Christ, you are His. He may not always be pleased with what you're doing, but we need Him to protect and continually refresh the joy of our salvation. We need to beware of these joy zappers. They're not the same for everyone. I know that He knows how to work with me. The enemy works with me individually. The way I know that is in the Old Testament. You remember when Moses went up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, the tablets? When he came down, remember what the people were doing? They had taken all their jewelry and everything else, and they melted it and made a golden calf. That was because he remembered back at other places in the Old Testament that they had a weakness for that. You know, a lot of people today have a hard time worshiping a God they can't see. Worshiping the Holy Spirit, they feel like we need to see it. I want to tell you, a God that I can see with my human eyes is pretty weak. I need one that is strong enough and big enough to lead and to guide me. So I encourage you, take joy from the last breath that you just took and look forward to getting the next one from Him. I usually like to say about there, if you would, just stop and take one more deep breath. Boy, that was a joy. If you don't believe it, just try going through the next hour not taking any of those. So the joy filler is the breath that God gives us. And then the next one would be celebrating our daily provisions should erupt with a sense of great joy. And again, if you don't believe that, just try experiencing without it for a little while. Brenda and I grew up to where we didn't have a whole lot. But we've never had to go hungry. I've slept in the cold lots by choice. Many nights, 40 below zero in a tent. Little airtight heater, and there'd be three or four of us up to seven in an 8 by 14 tent, 40 below zero. And we had sort of an agreement. Every who got cold first had to get up and put a little more wood in the stove. Now what was bad is if you had a guy who got cold quick, and he would fire that airtight heater off. Some of you probably are my age. You remember watching an airtight heater when you fired it off and you got it a little too much. And you know, for about that far up the chimney, it was red. And all around the little vent hole in the front, it was red about that big around. Well, we had a guy at work for us. He would get a little cold and he would fire that thing off. We were sleeping one night out in the bush by a campfire because our skidoos broke down. So we had nothing but a bag of peanuts to share and a half a bag of fig cookies for three of us. So we laid down by the fire, and sure enough, in the middle of the night, he got cold first, so he got up and fired the stove up. Well, the problem was my oldest brother had backed up close enough to the fire to stay warm. As it went down, he backed up. But when this guy fired this thing off, he got up the next morning, and his credit card was melted in his wallet. So you can know that it got a little bit warm there. But I like what Matthew 6:31-32 says. Don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. If we're not careful, these things become extreme joy zappers, to where we spend all of our time thinking about, what are we going to wear? What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? It's not a bad thing to consider that, plan for it, prepare for it, try to do a little bit of preparation ahead. But to let that become something that just dominates the thought, he says that should be limited to unbelievers. Believers should not be trapped by that kind of a thought pattern. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 says, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. I would say for me, that again is a true joy filler, that he will supply all of our needs. As Cowboy Trail Church, if I could encourage you, leadership team and those who are involved, don't spend all of your time worrying about what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, and what we're going to drink. Why not just say, God, I believe, according to Philippians, that you're going to supply all of our needs from your glorious riches. And that's a very important statement right there. It's not what we can conjure up as the what's going to reach people, what's going to get into people's wallets. He's saying here that it's going to be coming from his glorious riches, which has been given to us in Christ Jesus. That's why the angels, when Jesus came and the statement was made that joy is going to fill the earth because the one who supplies everything that we need has come to earth. Hopefully, this simple little song that we often sing at Thanksgiving, but which as I began to prepare, I want you to listen closely to the words. You've heard it many times, but I want you to think with me. If any one of these things that the writer says they're thankful for, if you delete any one of those, you will find out that your joy has been impacted. I want you to consider that. While the world looks upon me as I struggle along, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, and how I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Now listen to each one of these items. There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes, they're not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. And that's all that matters, though the world may not see. I thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. So when we begin to stop and think what all God has done for us and what all he's provided, can you think of any of those that you could drop out? You know, a roof above you, shoes on your feet, food on the table, a good loving family, the love of God. You know, that should give us joy. Even in the midst of this troubled, dark, difficult world that we live in right now, I have no idea what God has planned for us in the next while. You would notice if you looked at my video email today that I sent out to follow the video. It's going to be a tough time at Christmas for those who are spending their first season without their mate. I have a brother who will be 82 December the 11th. And one of his daughters sent us a picture today. 82 years old, sitting up on the top of a high rail fence with his hood on, looking straight into the cold weather. But I will tell you something, that guy enjoys life every day. Until about, he's 82 almost, and until about maybe 20 years ago, I'd say 15, he used to wrestle every guy he hired before he hired him, because he wanted a guy that would at least put up a real good resistance. And you probably have heard me say before, one of the guys he hired, when the guy came to him and asked him for a job, he had a little bit of a reputation that came with him. So Jody said to him, you know, but the word is out there that you're a liar and you're a thief. And the guy's response was, but I'm a good worker. You know, he didn't deny any of the accusations. So when we begin to look and see, God is providing and he's meeting our needs. That guy has turned out to be one of Jody's most loyal, dedicated employees. You can call him at 2 o'clock in the morning and tell him there's a log truck loaded way up in the bush and the hub broke. He doesn't know the difference. He just gets up and puts his clothes on, and away he goes and goes at it. I think sometimes I maybe complain a little too often. God's meeting the needs, God's providing, and we need to celebrate that with joy. The incredible life of Jesus from the cradle to the cross is a joy filler when you follow it. Luke chapter 2, 10 through 11 says, but the angel reassured them, don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. I think we could say joy has been born and then it was announced. I believe it behooves you and me to announce to people around us today there is joy even in the midst of this world. And it's to be found in Jesus Christ. I believe I mentioned Sunday maybe. We often would say the greatest thing that ever happened to me was when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, when I surrendered my life to him completely. And when people tell me that, my next question is, who's the last person you talked to about that? Who's the last person you told that? You know, if we get some kind of a nice gift or commodity or something to work with, we're not the least bit reluctant to share that, to talk about that, to tell anybody we come in contact with. So I say to you, who's the last person you told about your joy filler? John 10b says, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. That's a definite joy filler, is it not? I've come that you might have life, have it to the full. Other translations would say that you might have it more abundantly. One of the tasks you and I have this Christmas is not just to try to enjoy Christmas for ourselves, but it's to look around and find some people who are not experiencing the abundant life. And you need to come alongside of them. And I need to come alongside of them and say, can I help you? Brenda had a lady approach her Sunday. It was years ago. In fact, it was 20 or a little better than 20 years ago. She came up to Brenda after and said, I just need to say thank you for when you came to my apartment and I could barely speak English, just getting married. By the way, that guy's one of the new professors at the seminary. And his wife said to Brenda, you will never know how much it meant to me when you just put your arm around me and let me know that you love me, how much you care. We're in a world right now that there are lots of people, they don't need another $100. They need somebody to put their arm around them and assure them, I care for you, but I also want you to know why I have joy. And don't let people fool you. You know, sometimes people get carried away. They talk about praying in the spirit. I had a professor, and he wasn't making fun, but he said, guys, be careful when you start that, that it's not because you had too many barbecued pork chops after 11 o'clock last night. You might behave in a similar way that if you thought you're caught up in the Spirit. But I say to you today, you have just exactly what some people need. They may not need a sermon. They may not need money. They may just need you. And I would share with you a key here. When you're going to do that, make sure you don't look at the floor, you look at the wall or the ceiling. You look right at that person and tell them, I care about what you're going through. I care about what's happening to you. And then just go ahead and make your way. And I believe it's a gift we need to ask God for. God, help me to know how to read people's countenance, to know when they need an encouraging word, when they need somebody just to put their arm around them. Oh, it may very well be you need to buy them a tank of gas, or you need to put them in a hotel room, or whatever you need to do for a few days. That's not the bottom line. The bottom line is to help people have and live a complete life and have that joy filler. The cross provides the joy that comes from knowing my sin debt was paid in full on the cross by Jesus. I don't have to walk through the world wondering, if the Lord called me home tonight, would I make it or not? I don't have to worry about that. I settled that account a long time ago. And when it comes my time, like I mentioned in prayer, this dear lady friend of ours who's in the Yellowknife Hospital tonight, oh, I've been in their home several times, different times, preaching there in Rayedzo. They now call it Bechico. Bob, you know exactly where I'm talking about. The church there. To preach and live in a little old bunkhouse they had out behind. That woman was as close to a servant slave as I ever met in my life. She never had, at least it, since I've known them for probably 15, 20 years. I think I went there, Brendan, about 2009 or something. They invited me to come there and preach for the dedication of their new church building that some volunteers had come out of Alberta and helped them build it. And I was supposed to go there and preach the dedication message. Well, when we got there, we had a couple that went with us. The man was going to take a ghetto blaster and sing, and then I would preach. So we thought instead of going on to Yellowknife, getting a hotel, we'll swing off about 9 kilometers into Rayedzo and see how they're doing on Saturday afternoon. Well, when I got there, they had some big pots boiling, caribou cooking, and some in the oven, big roast. So I said, is all of this for tomorrow's celebration? And this lady said, well, no, a good part of it is for our meeting with youth tonight. The youth from the reserve would come there at midnight and after midnight for a Bible study and a prayer time, but they were not allowed to come until after their parents had gone to bed, some of them because they finally got impaired and went to bed. So while I was there and getting ready to go on to Yellowknife to spend the night, the pastor said to me, DK, we need you to preach tomorrow a message that the priest, the local priest, has found out that some of our people who are coming, he's made it to where they cannot come tomorrow. So we'll change your message. That's Saturday night. We drove on into Yellowknife. And I got back there the next morning early. The pastor met me on the step and he said, DK, it's gotten worse today. I need you to preach a message to the persecuted church. So the message had changed for me 3 times from the time I left Cochrane, just to try to do and to meet what God was saying to us. I think you need to be that flexible too. If you have a joy-filled relationship with Jesus Christ, don't let anything distract you and throw you off guard. There's a joy of knowing that our God will never leave us or forsake us. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8 says, the Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. It really doesn't matter what we're going through. You need to recognize God is with you. I'm so grateful that God didn't say, okay, now I've created the world. I've created the human race. Good luck. Go to it, boys and girls. No, he says here that I will go before you. He'll never send you anywhere he hasn't already been. He'll never take you where he's not already been. That means he knows where we're going. He knows what's ahead of you. Do you ever wake up some morning and think, I wonder what in the world is going to happen to us now? Brenda and I have even been there. We got up one morning. We were young married. Of course, we were young married from day one, 18 and 16. But we got up one morning and, man, we had a beautiful barley crop and oat crop. And we even drove around, took a look at it. I don't think we're being arrogant about it. But before the day was over, we sat in that pickup and watched out the windshield as the hail took all of it, took it down to straw about that tall. Everything we had was laying out there and shattered. You know, at that particular moment, it's hard to believe that God is with me. Boy, it's good. Hallelujah. I'm a Christian. It's tough. And people that tell you, oh, you never have any of those low days, you're just not walking close enough to the Lord, that may be true, but I personally think that's a bunch of bunk. Jesus Christ went to the cross. He who knew no sin went to the cross. Why shouldn't I go through some hard, tough times? But don't lose your joy. Just keep your chin up, keep your head up, and keep moving on. Last, oh, what joy when we stop, take a deep breath, and prioritize the focus on the second advent of Jesus Christ. We celebrated tonight the third candle of Advent, of hope. There is another Advent ahead of us. The second Advent, when Jesus Christ is going to return. The scripture that Pam read for us a few moments ago out of John chapter 14 and verse 1 through 6. Let me just sort of break that down and mention a few things. I think there are at least 8 promises here that will bring great joy to our life and things that we need to be thankful for. Number one, Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I would say to you right now, put your name in that slot. Jesus Christ is going to prepare a place for Paul. He's going to prepare a place for DK. He's going to go prepare a place for Stale. Put your name in there if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. What a joy filler when he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And then he says in that next part of it, Jesus said, I will come back. Now, there are a lot of people that do not believe that for one moment. I want to tell you, I stand on the platform that says he is coming back. And it might be tonight, and it may not be for 100 years or 1,000 years. You know, there are those of us who wish he'd go ahead and get it done. Come on, and take us home. But there are still those, I tell Dorothy, the way you can judge music of the era. Sometimes there's songs written like, even so come, Lord Jesus. And then on the next page it says, wait a little longer, a few more days to get my loved ones in. So there's kind of a balance there, isn't there? That we're ready for Jesus Christ to come take us home, but we still have some that we would like to come along. But find joy in the fact that he said, I will come back. And then he said, I will take you with me. I like that because I can't really imagine what it will be like having a personal escort by Jesus Christ taking us to the place he's prepared for us. He's not just going to take us to the exit of the crossroad and say, now, this is the one you go, just good luck to you as you work on through this earth journey and try to get there. He said, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to take you with me. And then he says, you're going to be where I am. There are religions who say, no, he's going to go to one place, and we're going to all be at another place. I believe the Bible teaches clearly that there should be joy in my heart and yours to know when Jesus Christ comes back and he takes his people home, we will be with him. And I think what a joy that is. Living in the world that we live in right now, it's hard to imagine and hard to envision. And then, lastly, I think there's a joy in the fact that my looking and searching days are over because he says, Jesus is the only one who can usher us into the presence of the Heavenly Father. I would say to you, not Allah, not Buddha, not Brigham Young, not Joseph Smith, No one else but Jesus can open heaven's door. Jesus is the only key which can open the door to our Heavenly Father. So therefore, if you hope to be in heaven someday, or you plan to be in heaven, the only way you're going to get in there is by your relationship with Jesus Christ. You can go to church all you want to. You can give all you want to in humanity. You can do all the good things that you can think of doing. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, when you get there, the key won't fit. So I encourage you to find the joy in knowing tonight. Boy, I may not look like a great project or product in the world today, but I belong to Jesus, and He's going to take me home. And then, just quickly note in verse 6, He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. And then when He says, He's the only one, I am the only way that you can get in. When I was a little kid, I used to love working with little children. I was 17, I started teaching a Sunday school class, what they used to call juniors, which is 8, 9, 10-year-old boys. And then I would always try to teach them some little courses. I don't hear much of those courses anymore, but one of them went like this. I have the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I have the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart, down in my heart, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart. You know, that wouldn't be a bad song for all of us old people even though, right? I've got the joy of the Lord down deep in my heart. And when I said He's the only key that opens heaven's door, I want to tell you something. When the Lord Jesus Christ puts His joy in you, nobody else's key will work there either. So don't let it slip away. Don't let people deceive you. Don't let the enemy mislead you. Take joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Fathers, we bow before You tonight. We're talking about things that are so far beyond us, and yet we have a trust factor that we have anchored in You, Lord Jesus. Cause Your joy to permeate our lives. And may we be looking for those people around us right now and from now through the Christmas season that they just need a touch that will bring some joy to their life. Lord, for those in this room tonight who may have hurts and pains and they've got some joy zappers that are trying to work on them right now, God, I ask that You would usurp Your authority, Your power, Your lordship, and You'll remove all of those hindrances. And may we see You in a bright light this Christmas season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.